Hi, I'm Ariana.
And I'm Kaylee.
And welcome back to the Unproblematic Podcast. This is a podcast that we do sometimes, I guess, because every time we try to do a new one, something comes up. But this podcast talks about college, travel, feminism, social justice, relationships, and of course, literature and writing. So come join us on our podcasting journey.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about book clubs. And yeah, the last one was about 6 months ago. So the time change is very difficult to plan times to record. So that's a big reason. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about book clubs, but also a lot has happened since our last podcast. So we want to give a little bit of an update for what has happened. Some of the major things that have happened since our last episode.
Yes. I'm going to try not to get emotional, but my grandmother, who we had on the podcast three times, who we called Bibi, she passed away at the end of March, but she had gotten sick at the very beginning of February, the end of January, and she was in the hospital for about a month, and we thought she was going to be getting better, but she didn't, and she ended up, you know, coming home on hospice, and she was on hospice for 18 days, and then she passed away. So she was 87 years old. So these last couple months have been kind of tough because we were really, really close. I would say she was one of my best friends, definitely. So that is like a really major thing. And I just haven't had any motivation to work on the podcast, especially knowing how much she enjoyed listening to it. And I haven't been able to listen to any of the older episodes that we recorded that she was in. So she was in three of our episodes. She was in Finding Your Voice as a Woman, our Fish in the Sea episode, which is funny because she talked about her dating life. And then she was in our episode, Domestic and International Travel, Grandma Edition. So she was great. I'll just give a little bit fun facts about her. So she was 87 and she was married to my grandpa, who I called Poppy. They were married for 64 years. So they did get to spend their last Valentine's Day together and anniversary together, together in February in the hospital. So my grandpa is literally the sweetest. He, you know, walked, they're both older. So he was, he went and visited her every day in the hospital and he brought her a card, for their anniversary and for Valentine's Day. And he read it to her. What else? And her service was really beautiful. He planned out the whole thing. He picked out all of the music, and he picked out all of her favorite songs. So it was a great service. And I spoke a little bit, about my experiences with her. So we had traveled together a lot, which we talked about in the international travel episode. And what else? We traveled a lot. We read a lot together, which I thought this episode was kind of fitting because me and her did our own personal book clubs. We would pick up books all the time and read them, or we would swap books and then have a discussion on them all the time. And she was she's one of the smartest people I know. She's kind. She was empathetic. She was honestly the best grandma ever. And I'm grateful that I was able to spend so much time with her, especially like in this capacity, because a lot of people don't get that time to spend with their grandparents. But I lived relatively close, and especially like in college, Kaylee, when we were in college, going to college, I was actually a lot closer than where I grew up. So instead of like 2.5 hours, it was 20, 25 minutes. So I got to see her a lot more then. But it was very sudden because like I talked to her in January and she was perfectly fine. And then she was not. So things can change in an instant. So even like when I went home a couple times while she was sick to visit her, and like it was nice, like even during like those last couple days I saw her, I was able to read to her. So it actually put a smile on her face, and I picked up one of her favorite books. So if you're looking for like a cozy mystery, she really loved the Number One Detective Agency series, and it takes place in like Botswana. So she really enjoyed that. So I was reading that to her while she was in hospice in her home. So yes.
Yeah. And I think it says a lot that, like, I mean, I wasn't even BB's granddaughter, but like Ariana and Alyssa had a lot of friends who like BB all knew, and like she knew our names. She knew like what we were studying and what we liked to do. And we were over at their house all the time. And yeah, she like wrote me this really kind and encouraging letter like before I left for Korea. And she gave me a book that her friend had written as well. And this book that she gave me really helped legitimize like some feelings of like culture shock and loneliness that I'd had when I first came to Korea. Her friend's name was Sune Kawakita, and he worked for Dow Chemical, I think. And he came to Japan and Vietnam for several years. And so he wrote a lot about like missing his family and like creating a new kind of social life with different friends and like finding food and restaurants he liked in unfamiliar cities. And he just like told stories in a very funny way. And it was really helpful and comforting along with like Bibi's letter during quarantine. And she really just encouraged both of us with reading and encouraging us to learn new things and be open-minded. And I think that she made everyone around her feel more brave and curious just from knowing her. Yeah, so it's very sad. We've lost our number one listener on the podcast.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm like, I think about that all the time. I'm like, every time I'm like, I'm like, Kaylee, BB would have wanted us to continue recording, because she would literally ask me all the time, when are you and Kaylee recording an episode? When are you and Kaylee?
And she was our producer. She would tell us what to talk about too. So that took a lot of work off of us.
Too. Well, she'd be like, what are you guys talking about? And I'm like, oh, this. And she'd say, well, maybe you might want to do this.
Yeah, yeah. She would like give us something to add to the podcast episode, or like change the topic a little bit. Yeah. Yes. It was really helpful.
It's crazy. But I'm so glad that she was my grandmother. I don't even know how to describe her at this time. I'm like, I'm at a loss for words, but I swear, when I talked at her funeral, I had a whole speech written out, and it was very thoughtful. There was not a dry eye in the house, is what I will say. Yeah, it was nice. Like talking about those like relationships with some of my friends, like you, Kaylee, and a couple of our mutual friends, came to her visitation and her funeral, which was very, very sweet. So yeah, there was a lot of people came to her funeral. And I'm just so thankful that she was able to publish her, I think it was her third book. I'm sorry, her second book, in 2022. So being able to help her edit that and just being there when she had her, book event and signing, it was just very, very nice. And I can honestly say that I've spent so much time with my grandparents, and especially my grandmother, that like I have no regrets. Like I'm not sitting here like, oh, I wish I did this or I did that. Like I spent a lot of time with them. So like even like during quarantine, like I stayed with them. So those first couple of months I stayed with them, and honestly, like looking back at like journal entries, I'm like, I had a lot of fun with them. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, let's get into what we're reading and watching. I just finished a horrible, I'm sorry, maybe not horrible. It was not good. I just finished a thriller.
Don't sugarcoat it. What was it?
I did not like it. It was... I tried so hard to like this book.
But with a title like this, it's little bit
fine. It's called These Toxic Things, and it's like I need to stop saying like, but it's a thriller that focuses on this lady who curates digital scrapbooks. So she like gets pieces and like puts narration and all of these things into these digital scrapbooks that people pay.
Is this a real market? Do people really sell these
and buy these? I think it's fictional, honestly.
A digital scrapbook. This sounds like the author had like a failed entrepreneurial idea and was thinking, you know what? I couldn't sell it because these silly people wouldn't buy it, but I could make this the plot of a book.
You can't even say it's silly because people, what I have learned from living in this capitalistic society is people will buy anything. People will buy anything.
So, but will they buy a digital scrapbook?
People with money will. People with money. People who have money.
I'm gonna look up if you can buy one of these in real life.
Well, look anyway, up keep if going. It's
what is the plot of this masterpiece?
Look up if it's real. But basically, this book is like she's curating this book for this lady who is getting Alzheimer's, and she has these very unique pieces that she's picked up throughout her life, and they're not really like collectible items, they're like weird items. And she's basically getting stalked and like saying, you know, don't investigate, like stop looking, blah blah blah. So the book was, what I didn't like about it is like when I read the back of the book, I was like, oh, this is gonna be so good. It dragged on forever. The book was all over the place. There was too many characters. Like, it was too much. Really too much. But I've heard she's written other things that were better. So I'm like, maybe I'll give those a chance. But it was not good. Like, I'm going to actually give the book away.
Much just like the scrapbook. There is a market for it, I just discovered, which I guess makes sense because Pinterest is just kind of like a huge scrapbook when you think about it. That's the same kind of concept.
But I love Pinterest. I really do love Pinterest.
But what are the toxic things in the story? Like, well, who's the love interest?
I guess the toxic things are like people like coming after her and trying to kill her. Like, and there was like stupid things that happened. Like, you know that you're being stalked and you're leaving your doors unlocked. Like, are you kidding me?
Of course.
And then like there's like a point of view from like the stalker in her like closet or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you like your blinds are open? Like, I don't know. All I can say is if I was being stalked, I'm locking my doors. That's all I can. I mean, I lock my doors now. I don't know. I feel like the author just wrote her like the main girl as like, I can't even say carefree because she was kind of uptight. But I'm like, there was just a lot going on, like with her personality type, it wasn't matching with what was like her actions. I don't know. And then there was like a subplot of like trying to have some romance. I can't even call it romance because her boyfriend was trash. I don't even like. Would I read this book again? No. I gave the book 2.5 stars, and then I bumped it down to 2 because I'm like, it takes a lot for me to give a book 1 star. So I'm like, I'll give it 2.
Okay, so let's remember what your honest opinion of it is, and then in the next segment we can talk about what you said at the book club.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Yes.
What are you watching?
Yes. Okay. And now I think if anyone who's listening loves historical romance, I think that you would love this. And I actually watched this movie with Poppy and my dad when I went home for Memorial Day. We're like, let's watch a movie because my grandpa got a new TV. And I, of course, as a loving granddaughter, typed in all of the streaming service passwords for him. So it was definitely a bonding moment. And we watched The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Oh, that's right.
And I have I had no idea what this movie was about going into. I was like, oh, A Lost City. But the main character who's played by Sandra Bullock is a historical romance author. And I loved that because I love reading historical romance. But it was just so funny because it's like she lost her husband and she's like, I don't want to write this character. Like, I don't want to write this book anymore, this series, because it's ongoing. But Channing Tatum plays the character who is like the man on the front of her books with a wig on. And there's this scene where like they're doing an interview and like
what's the time period that like the historical romance is in?
I can't even tell you, but like
because there's basically three, right? There's cowboy, Victorian, and I don't know. It's basically cowboy and Victorian, right? And then maybe pioneer. Well, those are the three genres of historical romance.
I haven't even read any of the, that's a lie. My favorite historical romance author is Beverly Jenkins, but she is a Black author and she focuses on like post-Civil War, like expansion in the United States, like different things. I don't know. So I have not read too much to know. It's just like, from what I've read, I can't tell what period it is because it's taking, I know it takes place in Latin America and they're looking for this jewel. And like Daniel Radcliffe is in this movie. There were so many cameos in this movie. So Daniel Radcliffe was in this movie, Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, Oscar from The Office, Brad Pitt was so in it. The cop from Only Murders in the Building. You watched
Never
that film.
Seen it.
What?
No. No, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, come on. But there was like, it was like, I was like, how much? I feel like the budget, like you guys, they paid a pretty penny for these people to make appearances in this show. So it was honestly, I was cracking up the entire time. It's on Paramount Plus. Very funny. So basically the man, Channing Tatum's guy, like his character, he actually has a crush on the author. So he like sees her get kidnapped and he's like, I'm going after this girl to like, we're going to have like, she's going to fall in love with me when I rescue her. But basically like nothing goes as planned. It's a hot mess basically. But, you know, every movie has to have a happily ever after, which is completely fine with me. Cause I do like a happy ending. Happy ever after. But, yeah. I cracked up so much, like, especially for the historical romance girlies who read the books, like there was like a scene where she's like narrating what's going on in like a historical romance fashion. And if you've read historical romance, you're cracking up. Alyssa and I were literally I couldn't even stop laughing. The movie was so funny. I felt like it's a movie that's never been done before, but yeah, I was shocked Daniel Radcliffe was in that movie. But my dad and my grandpa liked it, so I mean, I wouldn't say family friendly, but like it's a movie that a lot of different ages can like. That's what I read and watch. So hopefully soon I'll be reading something a little more enjoyable. But Kaylee, what have you been reading and watching?
So I actually just finished last night a book called The Girl Who Fell Beneath the Sea by Axie O. So it's really good. It reminded me a lot of Percy Jackson, but it's Korean mythology. So it's really interesting. It has like the classic everything you want from a young adult novel, the protagonist who's very brave and impetuous and compassionate and has all these ideals, but does like foolhardy things sometimes. And I will say I liked her better than a lot of protagonists because some female protagonists are just stupid. And I realize they have to be to keep the plot moving. Well, okay. I'm thinking Triss from Divergent is a great example of this, where she has all these ideals and all these internal monologues in the first novel. And then she makes some silly decisions, some ridiculous decisions. And from there on out, from like in the second book, in the third book, there's no more internal monologue. We have no idea what she's thinking. She's just doing quote unquote brave, impetuous things. But in this story, The Girl Who Fell Beneath the Sea, the main character's name is Mina, and she is actually very logical and she outwits some of the gods and goddesses in this story. So it's easier to root for her for sure. And I really enjoyed it. There was the love triangle. There was the like other world that she goes to and she has to decide, will she stay or go back? So it was a really good story. Definitely recommend. And then we were watching all of the Studio Ghibli movies on Netflix recently. So that was really good. It was interesting to see some patterns, I guess. Like, for example, Goro Miyazaki, I think we decided is kind of the fail son of Hayao Miyazaki, because the movies that he directed just didn't hit the same as the ones that his dad directed. He directed this terrible adaptation of an Ursula K. Le Guin book, and it was so bad that she denounced it. She publicly said, like, this is not associated with my novels. Yeah. But it has the same title. So when I saw it on Netflix originally, I really wanted to see it because I really like Ursula K. Le Guin and I knew she had written this series, but it was radically different from the books, I guess, as I learned later doing some research online, because I was thinking, how is this plot similar? This is very different. But anyway, love Studio Ghibli movies. The graphics are, of course, like really beautiful and serene. And the food is a great part of watching those movies because it looks so appetizing and delicious. But some plots are definitely better than others. But have you seen any Studio Ghibli movies, Ariana? Or are you not really into it?
I can't say I'm not into it. I just have never seen one, so I don't know. Maybe when you come back to the U.S., I'll give it a chance.
Yeah.
We can watch it together. But I don't, the book you were talking about, we had talked about it a little bit yesterday, and it seems like something I'd be interested in too. But I love YA books, but I love YA books where the main, like, character isn't, like, I like when they don't make her weak, like, or I'm trying to really think about how I want to say this, because it's, one of my favorite YA books is the Inheritance Games trilogy, or like, I even obviously the Hunger Games trilogy too, but I like that those characters are just so human and honest, but they don't make them I feel like sometimes authors, when they're writing a teenager, they make them feel like they make them come across as like whiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's almost like they're writing and it's like, had you talked to a teenager? But
yeah, we're too hormonal. Like Triss chose her boyfriend of like 2 months over her parents in the first book. And at that point, I really couldn't hang with it anymore because it just didn't make sense. Like she sacrificed her mom and dad and then was gonna like sacrifice herself so that her boyfriend wouldn't die. Like no teenager would even do that.
I hope not.
I hope not.
But yeah, I can't even really remember the Divergent series that much. I just remember hating Insurgent so much. I liked the first and the third was okay, but the middle one, I just remember like, this is not it. But sometimes you read, I feel like you can't even say this is a YA thing. This is any book thing, any fictional book thing. You read and something happens, it's just so cringe, you can't help but like physically shudder.
I mean, a lot of the YA style to me is pretty cringy just because it's been done so much, but it was nostalgic YA. Now. Well, yeah, but the style is like, she bit her lip, she shivered. Like, I feel like
the YA over like the last 10 years have like evolved from that. Yes, it's still in there sometimes, but I feel like they've gotten so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I liked this book because it felt nostalgic, but the writing style felt very similar to books I was reading 10 years ago, which is fine. Like style doesn't need to change in every book because, you know, the plot can be different. You learn different things. The character development is different, but the style felt exactly the same as like Hunger Games or the Pretty series or the Maze Runner.
Well, I guess we'll be able to talk about it later because we're both reading Scythe starting this week, which is a YA. I told her this was the first book that I'm about to read this year by a man, but then I was like, I actually looked at my story graph, which is a book tracking app. And I tracked, I had only read one book by a man this year. And it was the number one ladies detective agency. And I read that in honor of Bibi because it was one of her favorite books, her favorite series. And it was cute. Honestly, like it was definitely a cozy mystery and I'd read the second one, but I don't know if I'll get through the whole series. Cause like there's like 25 books.
Yeah, that's good. You did better than me. I read like 3 or 4 books by a man this year so far, so that's embarrassing. But anyway.
You can still redeem yourself. We have plenty. It's only June. We have plenty of time to read books by
by women. That's true. And I have a lot on my bookshelf that I need to finish. But I was also planning on reading David Foster Wallace this summer, which is like a very cringy man. But I've got to finish it because it's been on my bookshelf for too long.
I don't even know who that man is. Can you explain?
Infinite Jest.
Nope.
The Pale King. You don't really need to know who he is. He's just kind of known, I guess, because he wrote really, really long books and his style is very maximalist. He's one of the typical writers for the maximalist style, like Salman Rushdie, Thomas Pynchon, is that his name? I haven't read anything by him. And like Zadie Smith or a few other ones, they're rebelling against that very sparse prose trend that mm-hmm. is really popular, like popularized by Hemingway and lots of other people. I think there's a reason maximalism wasn't a really popular trend, because these sentences are so long. And sometimes it feels like you're reading the Amplified Bible, if you know what that is, because it's like in the Amplified Bible, they put all of the possible translations for different verses. So it's very repetitive if you're just reading it straight through. Obviously, most people don't read it straight through. It's mainly for scholars to like look at different, or not scholars, but people who want to have like a deep dive of studying the text of what different translations could be. But most people don't like read the Amplified Bible all the way through for fun. And sometimes different like books in this genre kind of read like that because it's so repetitive and it sounds like they're saying the same thing over and over again sometimes. But I'm gonna read that. So
okay.
I did not sell it very well, but
okay.
Okay. So the purpose of book clubs, to circle back to our original topic, we're gonna talk about the highlights of book clubs in theory and the potential weaknesses in theory, and then our own experiences. So some of the strengths, I think, of book clubs are that it gives friend groups a really scheduled time to come together and talk about something very specific and analytical. And it also gives people a chance to discuss things that they might not normally feel very natural bringing up in conversation. So I think those are strengths of book clubs in theory. What do you think, Ariana? Why were you drawn to book clubs?
Because I wanted to hang out with people who had like a common interest as me, but also I've been telling Kaylee this. I joined a book club because I moved to a new city and I'm trying to make some friends. So it's like, if you know, book club people are talking about a book and then I get to meet other people. So that is what, you know, interested me. But also I like to do like, this is still a book club if it's more than one person, but like if someone mm-hmm. has the same book as me, I'm like, oh, we should read it together. Like with Scythe, Kaylee says she had it on her shelf and I was like, oh, I have it on my shelf, want to read it together. Or like same thing with BB, like we would have mm-hmm. a copy and we're like, oh, we'll read it together and talk about it. Or like if someone has, I feel like you don't even have to read it at the same time. Like if someone told me that they read a book that I read in the past, I'm like, I love hearing people's thoughts on different books. So I'm like, please text me when you're done with the book so we can chat about it. Cause I'm like, even though like one of my friends, we were talking last night about book club, and she was reading a book I read in like 2021. And I was like, oh my God, when you're done, we got to talk about it. Cause the ending left me in tears. So,
So those are the strengths, but some of the potential weaknesses, I think, is so it can bring new friends together, but it could also rip apart existing friendships, I think, because if people have very different opinions about a book, or they feel very like emotionally connected to a specific book, then it might not be a good idea to start a book club. But I think there's a lot of potential there. So Ariana, how has your book club experience been so far?
I'm enjoying it. It's a great way to meet people. I've met a couple. I mean, the group I'm in is really nice, and it's like a nice age range too. So there's people my age, and then there's people who like are married and have kids, and they meet once a month. So the books are chosen like 3 months at a time. So Yeah, and it's also nice to pick books that I wouldn't necessarily pick up myself to read those type of books. Yeah, honestly, I'm really enjoying it. And this summer we're gonna be reading a couple books that I'm excited about. And I even this month I went to their book club meeting and I hadn't even read the book. And like you don't even it's just nice to hear other people's conversations. And like we met at like a food hall. So I'm like, I got what I get. I got like a po' boy, and like people had gotten pizza and beer and like different foods. So we're talking about the food, we're talking about the books, we're talking about what they're doing. Like it's basically just one big gathering, and the reasoning is because we all have the same book. It's not even like, because I wasn't going to go because I didn't read the book, and another person was like, hey, you should still join even though you didn't read the book. I was like, okay, and I honestly had a really good time. So I'll probably read this month's book too, I think. Yeah. But I have limited I most of my book club experience is with a couple people, like five or less. And this one there was like 10 people. And honestly, the way that the like lounge was set up, I could still hear everyone. And they switch up the location sometimes. So it was cool. But what about you, Kaylee? Because yours, I feel like when you talk about your book club, it's unique.
Yeah, I'm at the opposite end of the life cycle though of the book club because we started it last year and it was really fun. We don't meet once a month. We actually met once a week or not, yeah, once a week, and we would pick a different short story or essay that everyone would read and then we would talk about it. And I think that was better for our specific friend group because we were all kind of friends already and we wanted to meet more often and just have, I guess, a more structured conversation. So we would meet every Sunday night and someone would pick a different essay. And the group got to be so big too that if like a couple people couldn't make it, then we would still meet. And that was really nice. But we reached this problem that is sort of a philosophical problem. Have you heard of the ship question? Like
No, I haven't.
Odysseus's ship?
I
Okay,
haven't.
so if a sailor and his crew set sail on the ocean and they have a boat and they replace the boat board by board so that all of the boards are different by the time they reach another shore, is it the same boat that left the first shore or is it a different boat? And it's like a philosophical question, like does something, is it the sum of its parts or is its essence the same? Because if you say that it's the same boat, then you're saying that there's an essential something to what the ship was, even though all the boards are different. But if it's a more materialist explanation, then it's a different boat because all the boards have been replaced. So it's materially not the same as the boat that left. It's like completely implausible because you can't really replace certain parts of a boat on the ocean, you would think. But I think this question is important because this book club has been replaced board by board since people have left Korea and new people have joined. And it's not the same book club that it was when we started it last summer because almost all of the people are different, which is fine. But because the one uniting factor I think that brought us together was that we all had the same terrible employer. It can the conversation can become very like negative a lot of the time because it would go back to that previous workplace. So I think we haven't scheduled one in pretty much a month and our last book club was really good. And so I was talking to one of my friends who's in it and we were thinking, yeah, this might just be like a natural place to not have another one because we had kind of been pushing the next week and asking people what story they want to pick and organizing a lot of it. And so since we haven't really stepped up, no one has really stepped up. And I think it's okay. It's a good place to kind of let it go. But yeah.
I agree with you because it's like not everything has to go on forever. It's okay to have different events for different time periods of your life. And it's like if you've moved on, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we're not going to be in Korea for that much longer. So we have a lot of things we want to do on the weekends. We got to cross off things on our bucket list. So I think it's a good time to retire the book club in its current form.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to do it while you could. And then now that, like, it's
Yeah.
made its course. So if you You know, if you wanted to read a specific poetry book, I guess you and Will could read it together.
Yeah, that's true. And we do like watch like YouTube essays and stuff together and talk about it. So I guess we have a mini book club of two sometimes.
I love that. I feel like our book club is weird because me and her, we'll pick out a book and we'll either get through it quickly or it'll take us months. Like there's no such thing as easy job. It took us months, but The Vanishing Half took us a week. We'll see.
And it's not even if we like it. I think it's also a time thing because with The Vanishing Half, we were both in like lockdown during quarantine. That book was just so fast paced. We just read it in like 4 days.
You're right. But I really enjoyed that book. But we'll see how Scythe is. I think it's going to be good. It has really good reviews. Maybe, guys, I'll get her to read a romance book.
Big doubt, but
we have very different reading tastes. Like some of our things we like to read, like yes, we have similar tastes, but like the romance thing,
I feel like there's a big overlap of genres. Like we both like mystery, like Agatha Christie type books, right?
We like historical fiction. We read a nonfiction book together, the one about getting your life together in your 20s. We read that together.
Yeah, I needed that. That was pretty good.
The defining decade. And like we stopped after every chapter to talk about a different period throughout your 20s.
I actually did like that one. Yeah, that was good.
It was good. The only one I didn't like was Normal People. I didn't, but that's not because we were doing book club. I just didn't enjoy that book at all. Like it was overhyped. It didn't give what it was supposed to give. Like, but I know that you said you really liked the TV show and Alyssa says she really liked the TV show. So maybe I'll give that a chance. But I also really like Daisy Edgar Jones. So maybe I'll watch these in there. But the book,
the TV show is not good for the plot. It's not good for the plot. It's good for the actors and the aerial shots of Ireland. So things that have nothing to do with Sally Rooney, essentially. Oh. So that's why it's good.
Okay, so on that note, we will be reading Scythe and we will be giving a review once we finish it, and we can do an episode on that. But thank you for bearing with us through this episode and through me getting through talking about BB, because I'm still very sad and emotional about the loss of my grandmother. But honestly, I'm just so glad to have friends and family that are so supportive during this time. Yes. Kaylee, you have any last minute remarks?
We're grateful for like the way that she encouraged us to read and to travel. And I mean, I'm grateful for all the conversations that I got to have with her too. So yeah. And thank you for listening to this entire episode.
Thank you.